Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ackerman Security Hotline brings us Dan Connolly, BaltimoreBaseball.com. Dan, what's happening?
Who had 45 seconds into the poll of when Vinny would drop a Notre Dame Trey Mancini line, huh?
Yeah, right. Oh, if he would have went 3 for 3 with two bombs last night, we'd be talking about it the entire show.
Right.
All right, let's get to this and get it out of the way, because the Orioles win the game, and that's the most important thing. And I know you wrote about it on the website, BaltimoreBaseball.com. Jimenez gets into the eighth, gets a couple runners on base, gives up the eventual look-like game-winning home run to Lind. The Orioles, of course, come from behind to win the game. I, like pretty much everybody else, wondering, why is he still pitching at this point in time? What did Buck Showalter say after the game to explain his decision to leave Ubaldo in?
Basically, he said, and I understood it after listening to him, although I was in the same camp as you, like you said, and the rest of the listeners, like, why is he not pulling him after two guys got on base? However, you know, his pitch count wasn't particularly high. He started with 91. He was 98 at that point. And Buck told us after the game that he was staying away from O'Day, he was staying away from Brock, and he was staying away from Asher. So he only had three relievers left. And that was Verrett, that was Donnie Hart, and that was Michael Givens. He didn't want to burn Givens, or for that matter, Hart, too early, because it was, you know, it was a potentially extra inning situation, 1-1 game, and he felt like that Ubaldo still had something left in the tank. He did strike out the next guy, you know, three pitches. Obviously, two of them were bad bunt attempts, but he struck out the next guy.
Yeah, Heisen.
And you know, and then so when Lynn comes up, you know, I mean, I thought right there, Donnie Hart, but Hart wasn't warming at that point. It was Givens. You know, Givens isn't particularly good against, well, I mean, he's been better against left-handers, but not, you know, 100%. So you had to wonder what he was thinking there. What he was thinking was he had a very limited bullpen, and he was going to pick his bullets, and he felt like he could stick with Ubaldo a little longer. Now, obviously it didn't work out. But the flip side on this is I've never seen a manager so good about managing for the next few games and not necessarily worrying about this win. And, you know, a lot of managers, and I'm not going to mention names, but we've seen many, you know, guys who just go to the hot relievers or whatever, or just keep pushing relievers out there. And by June or July, they're no longer effective. And sometimes they're broken down. He doesn't do that. And he was thinking ahead, and it almost cost him the game, but in the Buck world, it didn't cost him the game. And now he's got, you know, a lot more relievers at his ready for this week, you know, for the next couple games and for the road trip.
Yeah, I tell you what, that was an impressive, you know, comeback, being down 4-2 with two outs in the ninth.
Right.
I mean, it's got to give you momentum going forward, doesn't it? I mean, those kind of victories?
You know, it's so funny. I would think so, but baseball players, and Buck in particular, will tell you that there's no such thing as momentum except for the next day's pitcher. And that, you know, basically the momentum can be shot in the foot today, you know, in the first inning if the pitcher doesn't get out of the inning, which we've seen the last time Ollie was on the mound. So, I don't know. It's hard to say, but I mean, I think if you look at it, to me, we'll throw momentum out of the nomenclature right now. Just look at particularly this win and what does it mean. And I think what it means for the Orioles is they can win these games. And we saw in 2012 when they won 16 of 18 extra inning games, they do not panic. And again, this is another example that they can win these games and they're not out of it. So I don't know if it necessarily is momentum for the next game, but I think it is a confidence builder in the back of your mind when you get back into this situation in a week, in 2 weeks, in 3 weeks, that, hey, man, we've done this before. This is our thing. And that's what happened in 2012. They actually thought if they got to extra innings, they were going to win. And, you know, and that carried him for a long period of time. And I think that's the same kind of mentality that's building right now.
5-1 this year in extra inning games are the Orioles. But let's get to Ubaldo's performance, because Max Scherzer, you know, every fifth day you're getting pretty much what you got last night. But Ubaldo, what was he doing differently last night that he hadn't been doing in his previous starts? Or, Dan, did you notice something maybe in his last outing against the Red Sox that he could use to carry over into a performance against the Nats?
With Ubaldo, it's almost always three words, guys: repeating the delivery. And I was actually watching some of the game with one of the Orioles officials, and he just kept saying, look at him repeat that. Look at him repeat that. And it was true. Is we know when he has deception and his ball moves, when he's in the zone, if you will, he's really hard to hit. The problem is it is impossible to know how to get him to repeat that delivery. But his delivery was on from the very beginning. Like I said, I was watching the first inning or two, and the guy said to me immediately, he's going to have a good game. Look how he is repeating it every time. And so, you know, when things start getting funky for Ubaldo, you know, and he can't get the ball over and he starts losing his deception, they just wait on, you know, fat pitches in the middle, if you will, and they crush him because he can't throw strikes. But you could tell from the very beginning yesterday that he was, you know, he was on, his balls were moving. I mean, he just looked really good. He looked like all of his pitches he could throw for strikes, and he had him off balance. I mean, you know, he's going against Scherzer. That's a pretty hard, you know, it's a pretty tough assignment, especially for a guy who's always has his back against the wall on whether he's going to make his next start. So I was pretty impressed with what he did.
Dan, a guy that is, I guess you could call it struggling, Chris Davis. I mean, the one at bat, he didn't take his bat off his shoulder. I mean, just, you know, in I think it was the ninth inning, the bottom of the ninth with runners on first and second. I mean, he didn't even take one swing.
You know, that's the most frustrating thing in watching Chris Davis for me more than anything else. And people point to the strikeouts. And he's a big guy. He swings big. He obviously has a lot of power. He's going to strike out. That's kind of, you know, part and parcel of what happens with power hitters. But swing the bat. And I think that drives me nuts. There's so many. And he led the league last year in most looking strikeouts. So, you know, third pitch looking strikeout. And you know, he's a guy, you just want him to swing the bat. And he's picking at the, when we see him do that, there's two things with Chris Davis, I think, Vinny. When we see him go the other way and hit homers, you know, right, in the opposite field, we know he's on. And when we see him just watch pitches go by for strike three, and the thing is, he doesn't even complain. He just shakes his head and walks away. That means he's guessing. That means he's looking for a certain pitch, and if he doesn't get that pitch, he's not swinging at it. And that means he's tentative. And so that's, you know, and you can watch him. I mean, when you see him hit that ball, you know, if you're in a fantasy league and you see him hit a opposite field home run, go trade for him, because he's going to get on a hot streak where he's going to end up hitting six or seven of these things. That's what he does. But when he's in a funk, it seems like he watches so many strikes, so many non-borderline strikes for strike three or for a called strike, and that's so frustrating. But again, it's the way he's done it, and I guess he just has to figure out in his mind the pitches he's looking for. And when he gets the pitches he's looking for in those situations, he can do some damage with them.
Dan Connolly, BaltimoreBaseball.com, joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7. The Fan news broke before the game last night, Dan, that Zach Britton, 45 to 60 days, expected to be out. 60 days put you near the All-Star break, if not after it. How surprised were you at the news, and how surprised was Zach Britton to hear that diagnosis?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, I'm not really going to call it necessarily news being broke, because Zach Britton says that's not the case, that he's never heard 60 days, period, that he was in the room with everybody else and, you know, went through it all. And really, 45 days, the only time 45 days was brought up to Zach was when the doctor, Neil Elitrash, basically said to him that he would imagine that he'd be back pitching in the major leagues in 45 days. So that's what Britton has his mind on. And so, I mean, if it ends up coming to fruition, it should be the early part of that 45 and not the later. Now, you never know with timetables. And that's the thing, you know, these timetables, I've never seen a timetable right ever. And oftentimes they're on the late end. So basically, you know, it could be longer than 45 days. But Zach, the unidentified source that came up with the 45 to 60, Zach says he doesn't know where it's coming from because he never heard that. His doctors never said that. And he would anticipate it'd be a lot closer to the 45 based on what his doctor said. So, and I think that's what kind of everyone anticipated. This was going to be about a month or so. I mean, I don't think anyone thought it was going to be a week or two. I mean, you know, it's 10 days before he even gets a chance to throw a ball for catch. So it's going to be a while. They are not going to rush him back. So So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. But at this point right now, he's fairly confident that it's a lot closer to 45 days than it would be anything else.
I think, Dan, a lot of time with professional athletes, you have to protect them from themselves, you know, right, because they're going to tell you what you want to hear and not really, you know, what the best thing is for them. I mean, George Seifert, whenever we would have in San Fran, whenever we would have a guy with a hammy, the trainer would say he's okay, and George would say, all right, give him another week. And I think that's right, what they're going to do with Britton.
Right. Well, and Buck always does that too. It seems like every time a guy tells him, you know, I'm good to go today, he sits that day and then goes the next day. And, you know, and honestly, that's what got us into this situation with Britton. I mean, we're all concerned when we hear forearm injury, we're all concerned it's going to be a Tommy John situation. Because it's a precursor. It's often a precursor for forearm injury, forearm strains. Then there's elbow ligament damage. Everybody who has looked at his MRI said there's no elbow ligament damage at all, that he's fine in that aspect. But he rushed back. You know, he thought he felt fine. He didn't have any discomfort. The Orioles wanted him back. He wanted to come back. He came back, and he immediately had a recurrence of it. So, you know, it's a situation where he has to rest. But he says that they look through it, and the, you know, the blood's going through that spot, the belly of the left forearm. And so they anticipate that it is going to heal, and it's just a matter of when he is comfortable not feeling any symptoms at all before he can get on the mound. But it's going to also be a rehab assignment, that kind of stuff. So I was, when I first heard about it and heard all the information, I was thinking it's plus a month. It's going to be a month to, you know, 40, 45 days, something of that nature. So that is still kind of the range, I think, that Britton and at least his doctors believe.
Dan Connolly, BaltimoreBaseball.com. I'm staring at the website, and it looks like it's chock full of news. Tell everybody why they need to go there right now.
Yeah, we got lots of stuff. We broke down the game yesterday and kind of a lot of the decisions, not just the Baldo decision. We also have all the Zach Britton information. We're going to be having some minor league stuff. The other Britton, Buck Britton, is going to be joining us for a podcast. He's now a coach in the organization. We're going to have a college piece on Towson State, and then we're going to have all kinds of stuff from the Nationals, Orioles today. So should be a lot of stuff next couple days.
Dan, we appreciate it. Talk to
Thanks,
you next
Dan.
Week.
All right, guys. Take care. Bye-bye.
Dan Connolly, Ackerman Security Hotline here on Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.